This song, and any and every other Bryan Adams song, is what pelted my eardrums, is what invaded my headspace, is what dominated that downstairs part of the house that I grew up in, where my bedroom was, especially in my last couple of years at high school. There I was, trying to study, trying to sleep, and there it would go again. Everything I do it for you. It sure felt like my younger brother was playing this loud and proud for me. To push my buttons, to wind me up. The other song he loved to play out loud, particularly, again, surely aimed at me, was Breathe by Prodigy. Don't know if any, yeah, some people get that. Here's one of the lines, the chorus line. Appreciating that. Breathe the pressure. Come play my game. I'll test you. Psychosomatic, addict, insane. And boy, did I play his game. I'd get all high and mighty about the importance of what I thought and what I was trying to do. I'd react, I'd create a scene. My dad still points out the dented door from after yet another frantic full-speed chase around the house that resulted in the only lockable door in our house being slammed on my fast-approaching body. My brother and I did not get along. Our focuses in life were certainly not similar. I was all about sport, church, school, well, church, you know, because I was so, you know, good, school and uni study. He was all about friends, parties, and relying on his super intellect to just cruise through school and uni. He was definitely the fun one. I was definitely the rules guy. We were just so different, and we didn't get along at all. He was this, I was that. That was about that sort of time. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. Oh, I've got them in the wrong order. Blow it. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. As he passed by, Jesus saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office. Jesus said, "Follow me." And Levi got up and followed him. Levi, the son of Alphaeus, who was also called Matthew, possibly because he was given a new name by Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector. Tax collectors were worse than the fun police. They would go around their own Jewish people's homes and demand money from them, tax, which they then gave to the Roman rulers, who kept the Jewish people under their thumbs. They would take too much tax so they'd get richer. Tax collectors were hated by the Jewish people and classed classed alongside murderers. This is Matthew, son of Alphaeus, working for Rome, the enemy, stealing from his family and country to get rich. One chapter later, Mark chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. He, Jesus, appointed the 12 as follows: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, to whom he gave the name Children of Thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. So Matthew, who we just looked at previously, was son of Alphaeus. James, son of Alphaeus. It's quite likely, there's potential there, that Matthew and this second James, not James and John James, Matthew and the second James were brothers. Now, having considered Matthew's work and his values as the tax collector, let's consider his brothers, James. Now, we don't know this for sure, but one tradition tells us that James belonged to the zealots, as did a couple of other Jesus' disciples. Now, zealots thought that they were the superheroes, but the bad Peter Parker type, like when Spider-Man goes bad, that sort of type, who take down enemies with unnecessary violence, for example. Zealots thought that they were the holders of truth, and they tried to force people into their way of seeing the world. Sure, it was because they loved their country and they loved their Jewish people, but always they were always on the lookout for ways to take out a Roman soldier or anything that supported Roman rule. They were extreme. This is James, son of Alphaeus, violently attacking Roman people and their ways. You might be able to see where this is going. James and Matthew, sons of Alphaeus, brothers, were dead set against what each other stood for. Matthew would have looked to take money off James to pay Rome and himself. James may have looked to kill Matthew given the chance. Imagine Matthew's wide eyes, his open mouth, and twitchy feet when his own brother, who hated what he stood for, walked into the room. Imagine James's clenched fists, his pounding heart, his rising anger as he walked into this group for the first time to see his traitor brother Matthew had also been called by Jesus to follow him. There's something about following Jesus together that enables people to coexist who wouldn't otherwise. There's something about Jesus' call to peace and unity, love for one another, and to participate in God's redeeming work. There's something of these that tugs at our hearts, isn't there? Tugs at people's hearts. You see, change is possible. James changed so much that he was sharing about Jesus in Egypt, so tradition says, and ended up being killed for it, for his sharing about Jesus on a cross. The cross, a symbol of Roman power that he had once supported as a tax collector. The irony. Matthew changed so much that he shared about Jesus in Ethiopia and challenged the king of Ethiopia on his morals, which got him instantly killed by the king's bodyguard. He was fighting against the rulers originally, to now being killed by the rulers. Well, it was time for my wedding. Not long after that first photo. Actually, a few years. And the need with that to work out who was going to be in my bridal party. I hadn't even considered my brother, obviously. Such was the lack of relationship. But my mum got in my ear. Have you considered your brother? You won't regret it. Please think about it. So very reluctantly, I did think about it. And to be honest, I really had to suck up my pride. I really had to suck up my sense of superiority. I had to choose God's gracious ways, offer an olive branch of peace, not knowing how it would be received. And I asked him. Oh, to be fair, that was probably after one of my other mates said he couldn't because he was going to be overseas. I'm not sure if he knows that. Hope he's not listening. I didn't run that part by him. But I'm so glad I did. He responded. I didn't know how he was going to respond, but he responded with such maturity and positivity. That one brief conversation changed everything. We started hanging out more. He invited me to join his mates football team. So that was the start of my football career. And we've become best friends. I realized I didn't have to change him. That's got nothing to do with me. We are both equally loved. But I could change myself. I could change myself to be more accepting. I could change myself to be more willing to be in relationship with difference. I could change myself to take responsibility for my own pride and for my own arrogance. And I could change by choosing to notice and see the Christ-likeness in my brother, of which there is a huge amount. And for me to act in more Jesus-like, Christ-like ways. How has the Spirit of Christ changed you to coexist with difference more healthily? Because I bet there is a story that each one of us can think of. And how might God be inviting us personally to grow in coexisting with difference? And for us as a church, how might these stories speak to how willing we are to coexist with difference as a church? I wonder what good could come from it, if we can. We are all disciples with Jesus as our master. And like Matthew and James, may we take heart, that there is room for you. There is room for me. There is room for everyone, no matter what we believe, no matter what we live like.